So then you did graduate from ORU.
Yeah, no, I didn't. Well, I walked because Oral wanted me to walk, and he handed me the empty thing, but I thought it was a diploma. I'd done all my courses, but I didn't take my finals. They offered me a job, and I just said, well, I'm cool. I'm good for life. And I went home early in 1975. I had to come back and take those classes, but I didn't take the finals, and it was a stupid error because Oral wanted me to have the degree from – he said, I want you to get your degree from ORU, and here's – you're going to walk, and I'm going to hand it to you. It was a big thing, but that was like my, I was of the class of 75. I didn't walk till 76 or something like that, because I stayed there till 77 as a staff person.
Okay.
I was on the Board of Regents, but I stayed as a associate evangelist. I was the only associate evangelist of the ministry other than Brother Bob DeWeese, who had transitioned. He died, and then they gave me that job.
Oh, so that was your job then in 77 for that year?
Up till April of 77. Richard and Patty and I were headed on the jet out to L.A. one time, and it was my first time just with the three of us on the private university jet. And I said to Richard, man, Richard, if I was you and your dad was my dad and I had access to all the stuff you have access to, I would change this world for Christ, for Jesus. And Richard said, well, Carlton, you don't have a wife and children, which is true. Now, I didn't realize that he and Patty were in a tense argument right then. They were dealing with stuff. I wasn't paying any attention. So he was saying to me in front of her, I can't do what I could do because you and children are obstructing my life. And I said to him, well, your dad had a wife and four, which was the wrong thing to say. That jet got dead quiet. Because I compared him to his father, and he never liked that. And I understand why and that I shouldn't have done it. But then Patty piped up, Carlton, how would you like to be associate evangelist of the ministry? And I thought, like, man, whose dreams? What are you talking about? That will never happen. She said, I'm going to look into it. And eventually they hired me right after that.
So then did you conduct your own crusades or meetings?
Yes.
On the behalf of Oral Roberts?
No, I traveled. Well, I did my own meetings, but I always spread the quote-unquote gospel of ORU, whether I was hosting TV and I was hosting Christian television. I would do three-hour live shows. I never was on once that I didn't mention ORU or him. It was always part of the conversation. I did that for years all over the country. The first black to consistently host, at that time, the largest Christian television network on the planet, still is the largest television network on the planet. So, but I wasn't paying that much attention. I was just doing me, doing Oral. I mean, I was a part of the family. And he liked it, and that kept him and the university in the public sight when we were going through the worst financial times of the ministry.
Because people were drawn to you because of him, but because you were black, it was part of it. And then you were exceptionally talented in speaking and singing. So you had a lot of things going for you.
Plus, I had the whole denomination of the Church of God in Christ. In those days, so Fred Price and I were the first black preachers on nationwide television. And he's old enough to be my father. So, and I was on, and I made a... When Paul Crouch heard I had a little TV program here, he said, you have your own television program? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, let's get you on the network. He said that on live television.
On TBN.
Yeah, on TBN.
Trinity Broadcasting.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Things just started happening. And Oral thought it was the blessing of God on my life to succeed him or to he always said, success without a successor is failure. I said, success without succession is failure. But anyway, he thought that I was a great asset to the ministry, and I meant to be, wanted to be. I loved it.
Yeah,
I introduced him to J.O. Patterson, and I was wanting to connect him with the Church of God in Christ and make Pentecost more. We wanted to make Pentecost pretty, not ignorant, not backwards, not the scorn of the Christian Protestant faith. People laughed at Pentecostals, and so Oral brought dignity and elegance in the university and all this stuff, and Catherine brought this elegant, dignified way of doing healing. Catherine Kuhlman. So I was admiring both of them, and I felt I was the representative for the black expression to these brilliant, more refined presentations of something we all believed. And
for those who may not know, it was the component of speaking in tongues that came along with the Pentecostal.
Yeah, that was the main...
That was the issue there that a lot of Christians didn't buy into.
Right.
But, you know, and still don't.
Right.
But that was... You wanted to bring pretty to that part of the...
Because it was associated with ignorance and exaggeration. Yeah. And so he would teach on it, and he kind of de-emphasized it, and he started emphasizing it more towards the end, and I did too, and it's just part of our... It's sort of a cult thing, but it was also a culture.
I said earlier he was your mentor, and then you said, and my tormentor. What do you mean your tormentor?
He was really hard on me. I mean, he was very critical of everything I did.
Even though he was promoting you? Do you think it was for your... Okay, I'll let you tell me why.
Well, the same way. He was afraid I was going to get big-headed and proud. He wanted to clip my wings a lot. And he saw that as a downfall if it ever happened to me. He thought I was so good, I should be pompous and proud. I didn't know I was that good. I was just doing me. But he would not be overly complimentary. He would compliment everybody in the room. Kenneth Copeland, Benny Hinn, Church on the Rock, whatever it is, Larry Lee, all my contemporaries. Of course, Copeland was older than me, but he would go around the room in the Board of Regents and compliment everybody. When he got to me, he said, and Carlton has always understood us. I said, dude, that's all you got to say about me? And then I started the church, and then the Azusa things were going around the country, and we're having huge crowds and creating traffic jams. Then he got a little bit more vocal about it. I think he was a little bit more sure that I might not get into excesses.
Mm-hmm. What about ego for you? Did you have that as a... let me say it this way. Did it become a problem to you, do you think, your ego?
No. I was very confident, and it came across as arrogant. But I knew the difference. Because I despised ego-driven, arrogant pricks. That's what I call them in the pulpit. I just despised it. I'd seen some really crazy stuff. And I was determined never to be that. And so even with him... And all the great guys, you know, I saw where ego played a strong role if it was, quote unquote, sanctified. We could do anything. We could be proud. We could be egoic. We could be aggressive, ambitious, as long as it was sanctified. You know, that was the term we meant, that the Holy Ghost kept it in line.
You were ordained in the Church of God in Christ.
In 71.
Okay.